I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. God, we just ask your blessing upon this time together. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Give us wisdom, Father, and understanding. Help us to see your will, Father, for our lives and be faithful to you. Bring glory to you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We'll begin there. This is just after the disciples had come to Jesus and asked them who they thought he was. And Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of God. You are the Christ of God. Then he told them that he had to suffer and bear many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. Then verse 23 it says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is it profited a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. He was talking to his disciples and asked them who he was. And Peter came to the realization, or he asked, or he told him the answer that he said, you are the Christ of God. You are the revelation of the Father to mankind. You're God in the flesh, basically. You're the creator of all things. This is all about you. Then he said, he told to his disciples something very difficult. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. He was trying to explain to them that although you're right, yes, I am who you say I am, but I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be rejected by all those who hear me, and they're going to put me to death. But I'm going to rise on the third day. And then he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 23. Verse 26. Keep in mind who we're talking about. This is the Christ of God. This isn't just a man, although he was a man. This is the creator of all things. When they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. Another verse that talks about him falling, stumbling beneath the load of this cross. What I want to bring out and talk about this morning is the cross. Jesus was here for a while, and he told his disciples that if they weren't willing to follow him, if they wanted to follow him, that they would have to carry a cross, deny themselves and take up the cross. And here we see this cross that Jesus himself was carrying. He fell beneath it. It wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't a little thing for him to carry this cross that he was going to die on himself. It's a very difficult thing. We have an idea of a cross. Everyone has the little gold cross around their neck or the little gold earrings, nice and shiny and smooth and pretty. Make them out of diamonds even. But this cross that Jesus was talking about crushed him beneath its weight. It's a heavy thing. Some people said it might have been 9 foot long, a huge beam. And then, of course, the arms of it was a heavy, heavy thing that he was carrying. Rugged, biting into his shoulder. You know, if you carry something with a strap even on it, you know, you take your shirt off and your skin will be red where it's irritated, where it's been carrying something on it. Well, this thing, no telling what it weighed. So heavy that he was so weary that he fell beneath its load. And they had to have another man carry it for him. Whenever I was first returning back to church, we would go to church, and I was so thankful that the Lord had offered His mercy to me, that He had saw fit to give me an opportunity to follow Him, to serve Him. And I was so grateful for that. And we would go to church, and the songs that they would sing were all about thankfulness for what the Lord has done for me. And I appreciate that. And I think that's something that there needs to be a thankfulness and a gratefulness for being delivered from something. I mean, if we, to recognize the grace of God. But as I thumbed through the songs in this book where I was going to church, all of it was about what God has done for me. How good God is for me. And how good God was to save me. The emphasis of all of the singing was about what God has done for me. And I just sat there and I listened to them sing song after song. And I went through the book and tried to find a song that resembled more of what Jesus was talking about, instead of just this all about me. You know, the verse that we read, it said Jesus said, if any man will follow me, he's got to take up his cross and follow me. He's got to deny himself. And there was only one song in that whole book that I could find, and it was this one we sang this morning. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? You see, it's fine to be delivered from something. It's fine to be saved. It's wonderful to be released from bondage. I mean, God is good. I think this is where people mess up a lot of times or miss it a lot of times. Because God is good, He will heal people that are unworthy to be healed. He will deliver people from bondage that don't deserve to be delivered, that will choose not to follow Him. You see, a lot of times we think we're saved because we have an encounter with God. I don't know how many people, well, the Lord healed me. That's how I know that I'm saved. And they praise God for being healed or being delivered or the burden of their sins taken away. And that's wonderful. And there's a whole world of churches that are praising God this morning for those blessings. But just because God is good doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility in this. Because Jesus Himself said, even though I'm God, I'm going to die. And if you want to follow me, you have to do the same thing. We can count our blessings and praise God for it, be thankful for all of those things, but still not be following Christ ourselves. Not on the path that is this song. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? See, that's the attitude. Jesus died. Now we're just scot-free. We don't have to do anything. We can just take all these blessings. That's what he's asking in this question. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Free to pursue whatever you want in life. Do your own thing. Just do whatever you want to do because Jesus died on the cross. And now you can just live your life. That's what he's asking. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? What do you think he's expecting for an answer? Absolutely not. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. In verse 2, it says, disowned on earth, mid griefs and cares, he led his toilsome way. But now in heaven a crown he wears and reigns an endless day. Disowned on earth, mid griefs and cares, he led his toilsome way. This is not just some guy. This was Jesus. Came down from heaven, left all of the glories of heaven to come and live this life. Disowned by everyone that should have recognized him as who he was. Mid griefs and cares, he led his toilsome way. You know, we talk about being like Jesus. There's songs that people sing, oh, to be like him. Oh, to be like him. And I don't know what we're thinking, but we just think that we're going to be holy and we're going to be loved and respected and elevated and just live a nice, happy life because we're like Jesus. That everything's just going to go wonderful because we're like Him. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, I just want to be like Jesus. I don't know how many people I've heard say that. We ought to look at his life and see what that life was. He was despised and rejected. Despised and rejected. Thought little of. Hated. I mean, I can just imagine him trying to talk to people, trying to visit with people, and they just hear what he said, and they're just like, yeah, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. Despised among men. He had answers. He had answers to people's questions. And when he tried to tell them, who's he? I'm not going to listen to him. I don't want to hear him. You see, whenever we think that we're something, we think we're like Jesus, everybody listens to us and everybody loves us. Oh, how saintly that message was. How holy he is. Oh, those are words, inspiring words that lift us up. That's what people are wanting and hearing. But when Jesus spoke, they didn't come away like that. Why? Because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. They despised what he said. What sadness, sorrow he suffered, knowing that he had answers. And that nobody wanted to listen to him, or very few wanted to listen. That there would be very few that would hear him. They were all looking for the fluff. They were looking for the cross that he bore and that they could go free under. I thought of another song this morning. Follow Me. I haven't thought about this for a long time, this little song. I'm going to read it. I traveled on a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Encouraging words that sometimes we just wish we could hear the Lord say. Wish we could hear Him tell us that. But oftentimes we're so busy just being free that those words don't even apply to us anymore. They mean nothing to us. So many people think that they're free because Jesus died, and yet there's other groups that are in bondage, trying so hard to create their own cross so that they can glory in it, receive some credit for it, trying so hard to be religious that they don't even need the cross. They don't know what the cross is. Some people are so trained or educated or in their religions that they can live so strict of lives. Just holy lives as you would ever think. That for them to actually sin or do something wrong in their own eyes that they would think that was wrong, there would never even be a question about it. They just don't even think about it. They just go through life and never tempted. They're above that. They're above trials. All they have to do is just remain in their religious little rut and think that that's a burden and think that that's a cross, that they have to remain in this little religious rut. But yet, they're so proud of themselves because they're holy. The next verse of this says, I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hand safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. There's a cross. And there's nothing that we can do to create that cross. All we can do is carry it. It's one that is put upon us. It's one that is given to us whenever we choose to lay down our lives and become associated with Christ. And that's where the difference is. Sometimes we think about, what difference is there between all the religious groups? Some are very loose and some are very strict. What makes the difference? What is it that makes the difference that puts us in the same camp with Jesus? It's this right here. It's the cross. It's taking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following Him. That's what makes the difference. We can be religious, we can have all the outside trappings, but if we don't have a cross, we're not willing to carry a cross. Or Simon bore Jesus' cross. That was his cross, helping Jesus carry his. While the crowd stood and mocked and laughed and jeered or hid in fear. The world despises the cross because it despises Jesus. The world, the Bible says in Corinthians that the cross, the death, it smells like death to the world. It has the savor of death. Life has the savor of death to the world. And the world has the savor of death to the one bearing the cross. Whenever we talk about the world, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I don't sin, I don't go anywhere, I stay away from people. The world is simply you not bearing your cross. The world is, instead of denying yourself, you're doing everything you can to save yourself. Because it's Jesus or yourself. See, we think sometimes that, oh, if I just live so holy, I'll go to heaven. I'll deny myself. I won't do this or I won't do that. But the goal is yourself. But to lose yourself is the only way that you gain what God has to offer. You lose yourself. If you gain the whole world, we think about how much we can pile up. But that's not what he's talking about. Gaining the whole world is, I've got Jesus and I'm going to heaven. I've got it all under control here. You think you've got it all. But Jesus said you have to lay all that down. You lose your life to find it. Read the last stanza here in this. O Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Here's where it's at. Whatever he wants you to do, whatever he says, we simply lay our lives at his feet and say, it's yours. It's yours. And sometimes he takes it. Sometimes he, whatever it is, your life, your family, your home, your pride, your position, whatever it is, you give it to him and let him have it. See, we talk about giving our wills to the Lord. We talk about giving our lives to the Lord. But then when he takes it away, we do everything we can to stop it. And we don't want it. Someone, we have the idea sometimes that someone bearing a cross is just so happy and everything's just going wonderful. Do you know, someone bearing a cross has the same desire for a happy life that everyone else does. They want the same things that everyone else does. But the Lord will just sometimes take them away. Then we have to choose. Do I still want this cross? Do I still want this life? Do I still want to follow Jesus? Do I still want to be like Him? See, that choice is ours. What is it that God would ask of you that you would say, you cannot have that. You cannot have that. This is my life. You can't have that. That's what he wants. And we can try to hold on to it, or we can give it to him, because in reality, everything that we have is his in the first place. Everything that we have is just a gift from him for a little while. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? What we need to ask ourselves. May the Lord add his blessings.
Bless you.